For now, I want to bring in Phil Ní Hé, the INMO General Secretary. Phil, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Phil, you were listening to Colm Henry there. He's saying basically that the prevalence or the level of infection in our hospitals is basically due to the high levels of infection in the community.
I think he's admitting and agreeing that it is out of control. We know from NPHET's correspondence to the Minister, Dr. Tony Holohan writes to the Minister quite regularly. We have copies of those correspondences. They describe open clusters in acute hospitals. In January, on the 6th of January, there were 79 open clusters associated with 32 acute hospitals. This is an emergency. There is absolutely no other way of describing it. And right now, we are not satisfied. I heard what Colm Henry said in respect of the masks. We have been advised this week that vaccines for those that haven't already been vaccinated will be delayed. So that means the largest group of workforce that are going in to these precarious, very high-risk situations and getting infected themselves are nurses and healthcare assistants. They're the two categories. They make up just under 50% of the entire infection amongst healthcare workers. They have to have protections that are better than what is there currently, because obviously currently isn't sufficient.
Well, if I took up Colm Henry correctly there, he's saying that they are advising that where the locally it is deemed of sufficient risk, that those masks are being made available to healthcare workers. Is that not the case?
That's not the case. And I'm glad that Colm said that, because that might bring a bit of reality into local managers who have written to our staff in the last 24 hours telling them that those masks will not be provided to them. This is not an issue that the health service can play around with. Nurses have died in this country. Other healthcare workers have died in this country because they are going right into the eye of this storm. This is huge risk. Across the world, healthcare workers have been to the forefront of taking on the pandemic. We cannot mess with safety. That's why this week we are so frustrated at the delay in protecting workers' health that the HSE have demonstrated, that we have referred the matter as a complaint to the Health and Safety Authority. Because if this was a meat factory or if this was a shop, the Health and Safety Authority would have the right to inspect. They must inspect and they have to inspect. Just because it's a hospital, it is still a workplace. And the protections for those that are working in those environments must be completely and utterly independently assessed to make sure that if there isn't a vaccine, well, then everything else must be in place to ensure that the risk is at its minimum.
In relation to those risks, you're raising that issue about the distance between beds that patients are being treated on in our hospitals and also testing in response to outbreaks. What is happening in hospitals now when an outbreak is identified?
Well, the HSE have a policy which they issued on the 24th of August, which, you know, defines the 2 metre in the community, but saying that in hospitals that 1 metre, because of the aerosol generation of this virus, is sufficient. We don't accept that. We believe that needs to be reviewed, and particularly the information we're now getting about the UK variant, the higher viral load, the nurses and other healthcare workers, in most instances, cannot stay 2 metres or 1 metre away from a patient. But patients should be 2 metres away from each other. We have a long discussion/negotiation with a private hospital system in this country, which we still have not got definitive answers about how many beds will be available to the public health service. If the 1,900 available beds were available, we might be able to reduce the space between beds in public hospitals. If our focus is safety for patients and staff, well, then we have to make much, much sharper decisions much earlier, because currently these decisions are taking too long.
OK, I just want to bring in Louise O'Reilly there. You were shaking your head right through a lot of Colm Henry's interview, Louise.
Well, I was, and I'm very, very disturbed to hear that the cohort of healthcare workers who, as Phil rightly describes, are the people who are going in to the eye of this storm, that those healthcare workers will not now, those who haven't received the vaccine, will not now be vaccinated. It won't even start until the second week in February. I think the least, the absolute least that can be done for our healthcare workers is that we give them the right equipment to go in and do the job that we expect them to do. I mean, like, you know, it's all very well to stand up in the Dáil and give them a round of applause, but actually when they need us, you know, our government is found wanting, and that's not right. The very least that can be done is that they get access to PPE that will protect them. We have huge rates of infection among healthcare workers. We had the highest rates of infection among healthcare workers at the start of this pandemic. I had hoped that the government would have learned lessons in relation to that. The fact that they haven't, and we now have the leader of the largest nursing union in the state on the radio again asking for PPE. It is like we're back to March again, back to March and April. This is not acceptable. They should have known that this was, they knew that this was a possibility, and they should have made arrangements. It is not good enough now to be sending men and women into our hospitals when they are overcrowded, when there isn't sufficient distance between the beds, and when they find themselves in a situation whereby they cannot even access the vital PPE that they need.
Minister.
Yeah, look, I think what Colm and Phil have set out shows the extreme difficulty that we have in our hospital system at present, and the scale of the burden of this disease on our community, and obviously the impact that's having on frontline healthcare workers. And Colm set out, I know, I think he wrote to all HSE operations that FFP2 masks should be provided based on local risk assessments.
Are you shocked to hear there that that's not happening?
It should be happening.
But it's not happening.
And I mean, the based on the local risk assessments, the FFP2 masks and gowns should be provided to healthcare workers.
I think we're all agreed on that, but I am asking, are you shocked to hear it is not, according to Phil Nihay? Her members are saying they're not getting access to those masks.
Well there needs to be operational follow-through from the people who are responsible in the HSE for that. And as a government, we absolutely support the public health and scientific position, which has changed as well. If you look at, and Phil mentioned this as well in the context of the variant, and Colm mentioned this as well, where the aerosol spread of this disease, and I think if you look at the infection control frameworks in hospitals, there's obviously a rolling update to that as we learn more about the disease and as we learn more about the variants in particular. But I support the infection control guidance, and as that's being updated, and FFP2 masks should be delivered at an operational level based on local risk assessments. That should be happening at hospitals as they're required.
But overcrowding is a very significant risk when you talk about infection control management, be it MRSA, the winter vomiting bug, whatever it is that you're referring to. Overcrowding is a very significant risk. So Phil has asked a very reasonable question, in my opinion, in relation to the 1900 beds within the private hospital system. How many of those are going to be available? Because if they were available now, and God knows we gave these people a lot of money back in March, April and May,
but if they were available now,
then they could be utilised. That would ease. And I mean, Jack, you know this. Overcrowding is a major factor in infection control.
Isn't there an issue,
Jack Chambers, of then the private hospitals are, you know, they're living in the community as well, and they are having huge staffing issues. So is there not a question mark over how many beds are going to be made available to us because their staff numbers are severely depleted because of people out for COVID?
The burden of this disease across all sectors, and in particular if you have the combined risk of community transmission and then hospital transmission for healthcare workers, that is a significant. So the most important factor here is that we reinforce the message that people need to stay at home to protect the very people in our hospitals, and that we lower the disease burden, and that will allow more frontline healthcare workers to return to work who are presently may be infected.
But I think people would like to know out of the 1900 how many are actually going to be operational.
Can I ask you, Phil, the Taoiseach, in his interview with Brendan O'Connor before this programme, said that he was basically pointing to the new variant as being behind this big surge in hospital-acquired infection of COVID. Would you accept that that's part of the picture?
Well, I think the evidence that we're seeing across the UK and in Ireland is that, you know, the relaxation of the public health measures most certainly increased the transmission. This virus travels from person to person. What the UK variant has done is it has accelerated in the community the amount of the virus that is being shed. So in other words, it is, of course, now going to be much easier to catch the virus, unfortunately, because of this variant. But the real issue here is we have a hospital system that we have known for years doesn't have sufficient staffing from a nursing and midwifery point of view. We've been campaigning. Our members went on strike for more staff, for God's sake. And we now have a system that is completely and utterly overburdened. And what I really have to impress upon the representative of government in the studio today is that if there is any change to the variant or to the scheduling of vaccinations for frontline healthcare workers, that will be a huge problem. So I'm asking Jack Chambers there to confirm that there will be, regardless of lobby groups, there will be no change to the scheduling of frontline healthcare workers for this vaccine, because we need them to keep people alive.
That confirmation from Colm Henry there, that if you haven't had your first jab as a healthcare worker, that the next round of those first jabs won't be happening until the first or second week in February. Would that be disappointing for your members, Phil?
Absolutely disappointing. And in fairness, it's inexcusable, because when we had supply, the manner in which it was addressed at the beginning up until the 12th of January, until the first memo came out, seemed to be, oh, there you go, there's your amount of vaccine, and distribute it amongst your staff, with no priority to those who are more susceptible to infection. Obviously, the WHO has confirmed, if you are a patient-facing healthcare worker, you are the most at-risk person in any community of contracting this horrible virus. Therefore, we waited until the 12th of January to issue memos to the system, to managers in the system, to tell them how to distribute the vaccine. That's inexcusable. It's simply inexcusable. When we have nurses dying in this country and other healthcare workers dying because they are putting their lives at risk.
Okay, let me put that to the minister here, Jack Chambers.
Yeah, the just to say on the first question, the prioritisation is for frontline healthcare workers. And if you look at the National Immunisation Advisory Committee's sequencing, they've prioritised frontline healthcare workers, and many frontline healthcare workers have received the vaccine. I accept the uncertainty over supply presently, particularly with Oxford AstraZeneca, presents challenges in the next month. And obviously there's going to be engagement at an EU level.
Inexcusable, Phil Nihay was saying.
The fact that Oxford AstraZeneca have brought this uncertainty on supply is absolutely regrettable, and I think that's why there has to be a robust engagement from the EU with Oxford AstraZeneca, because obviously a lot of the planned supply from a European context, and we have a European purchasing agreement, but there's been accelerated rollout for in long-term care facilities in the last 2 weeks, and then the next sequencing is obviously to recommence frontline healthcare workers, and I support that. And I support the fact that I've spoken to many nurses and many frontline healthcare workers.
It's all up in the air
workers.
Though now, isn't it? I mean, you can't here today guarantee to Phil Nihay that her members are going to get those vaccines, even on the delayed programme they've now been given.
What I can say is, well, no, the National Immunisation Advisory Committee have absolutely stated that frontline healthcare workers are prioritised. They're number two on the schedule, and long-term care facilities are number one. And many of that we're nearing conclusion on that, except for the cohort of nursing homes where there has been an outbreak. So there is the certainty is that when supply increases, and that's obviously we're at the behest of what we receive from a European context,
okay,
we will roll it out, and everything Ireland has received we have actually gotten out, and we're actually in terms of the European league table we've been efficient in rolling out the vaccine. But I accept there is uncertainty for some healthcare workers, and also for many of our over 70s who are hopeful that the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine would provide certainty for February and March, and that's why there should be a robust engagement for that company, who aren't fulfilling their contractual obligations with Europe, and that's not acceptable.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a break there.